Past the bottom of the hour on The Exchange on Wednesdays, that triggers the opening of our Vents Day segment. Your chance to vent your spleen politely on a couple of topics in the news. Today's topics, gun laws and open records, open meetings. Join us on The Exchange at 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. Our Rogue Valley local number, 541-552-6782, or by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Let's go with guns first. As you heard, last night the Ashland City Council held a public hearing to talk about possible gun ordinances. After the Sandy Hook school massacre, a group of Ashland residents calling themselves Citizens for a Safe Ashland proposed a couple of ordinances, one to keep guns out of the hands of kids, another to ban the carrying of loaded guns in public. The open carry ordinance might be easier to defend in court, said city staff, so Ashland might get one ordinance out of this process. So let's limit our discussion on guns to a one or none proposition likewise. If you had one change to make in gun laws, whatever your starting point in the debate, what would that change be? How would you opt to change gun laws if you could? Join us on Vents Day at 800-838-3760, anywhere in our listening area. Our Rogue Valley local number, 541-552-6782. Our email address, jx@jeffnet.org. Topic 2, Sunshine Week, open records, open meetings. We'll give a fuller description of that on the other side of a break. Get the dialing fingers ready. This is Vents Day on the Jefferson Exchange. Gun laws and open records and meetings are topics here on the Jefferson Exchange. Back with your calls in a minute 5. It's 8:36 on the Jefferson Exchange on Jefferson Public Radio's News and Information Service. This is our weekly Vents Day segment. It is your chance to vent your spleen, politely please, on a couple of topics in the news. This week's topics, gun laws and open records and meetings. This is Sunshine Week across the country, hence the topic on open records and meetings and what you think is appropriate. Our phone number is for Vents Day, 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. Our Rogue Valley local number, 541-552-6782. Our email address, jx@jeffnet.org. The question on the table about gun laws is whether you're for or against guns, whether you think the Second Amendment is great, whether you think it's bad. If you could make one change in gun laws, what would that one change be? That's the question for the gun topic. Item 2 relates back to Sunshine Week, this week to celebrate openness in government, letting the sun shine in. We have laws requiring much of the public's business to be conducted in public, with documents we can all see, meetings we can all attend. Obviously, there are some limits, and sometimes it seems there are more of those limits all the time. Here again, give us an idea of one change. If you could make one document or meeting public, what would it be? Or flip it the other way. Is there one bit of government business you absolutely do not want conducted before the public? Join us with your thoughts on Vents Day, on public meetings and records, or on gun laws and what the one change would be there. 800-838-3760, 541-552-6782, email address jx@jeffnet.org. No surprise, lots of lights on the phone lines. Derek and Talent, welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vents Day.
Hey, thanks. I guess if I would change one law, I think I would maybe enact a capped tax on sales of guns and ammunition. Which I'm sure a lot of people cringe for that, but I think that tax could then be used to fund mental health services and especially around gun crime and gun abuse. And then also the tax could then be used to maybe combat the what Michael Moore and the author that he interviewed in his movie Bowling for Columbine called The Culture of Fear in America. Because if you guys remember that movie, Michael Moore was trying to figure out why Canada and the U.S. differ with their gun violence, even though they have access to the same culture and same number of guns.
Mm-hmm.
His conclusion was that there's a culture of fear in this country. So I thought it was remarkable. He didn't conclude that guns were the problem, but that our culture is the problem. And so if there was a way to maybe obtain some funding to combat those things, then I think we would, you know, mental health and then the culture of fear, we could stop arguing about limiting rights and actually go to the root of the problem.
So when you talk about a tax on gun and ammo sales, it's basically like a sales tax then. And you said a capped tax, so it would stop at a certain dollar level or something?
Well, I mentioned that. No, I meant capped, like you would have a percentage of the tax, but it wouldn't be able to grow over the years.
That's, So, the tax rate would not rise.
You know, a lot of people didn't want to vote for sales taxes because, you're talking about a minimal percentage now, but there's no guarantee down the road of what that sales tax is going to end up. As many states exhibit, it's like you could end up at 8-9%. And you know, this is the idea isn't that you're going to make guns, gun buyers and sellers go broke. It's just that they would help pay for part of the problem, and and it just kind of makes sense. And then they kind of get the monkey off their back of people messing with the Second Amendment if we're trying to solve the problem.
Right. Okay. Well, thanks for the thoughts, Derek. Appreciate your call to talk about a tax on gun and ammo sales to fund mental health programs. Let's get other thoughts from the audience here on Vince Day. We have two topics on the table. One is if you could make one change in gun laws, pro or con, what would that change be? Our other topic, because this is Sunshine Week, we're talking about open records and open meetings. If there were one change you could make in those laws, what would they be? What would you make public that is not public now? What would you take out of the public domain that is public now? Perhaps going the other way. 800-838-3760, 541-552-6782. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org. Derek made me wince with remembering and watching Bowling for Columbine, particularly when he pointed out, Michael Moore did in the movie, the difference in the cultures of America and Canada when it comes to television news. And I was working as a promotions person in television news at that time, so essentially putting together things saying, watch this or your life will change and not for the better. I didn't go quite to that extent, but the point was that that's the kind of stuff that populates television news, commercial television news in America. And it's very, very different in Canada. That was well pointed out in Bowling for Columbine. Real different sort of culture of fear. So let's hear your thoughts on either of these issues on Vince Day. Let's go to Tom in Grants Pass. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vince Day.
Hi, Jeff. Thanks for this. My father was a World War II veteran and longtime Army officer, and I received my first gun when I was 12 years old. But before I was ever able to handle that gun, I had to go through a safety course. And I think it actually came through the NRA. It was a hunter safety course, and it was several sessions, and I had to pass all these tests, and I had to know how to handle the gun safely. And I learned at that time that every gun is always loaded, and you don't know any better unless you check it. And if you look at what's going on now in our culture, there's so many people, they have the legal ability to go out and buy a gun, but they have no idea how to handle it safely. And there's so many accidents, there's so many needless deaths. Aside from just the atrocities that are committed, just the accidental deaths, it boggles the mind. It's unreal the amount of people, especially children, that die as a result of a gun accident.
All right,
so I would mandate that any minor that handles a gun would have safety training, and I think that might, over time, accrue that more adults would know how to handle it safely. Mm-hmm. That's really the only thing I can see that without limiting the constitutional right.
So would the safety training be optional for adults but mandatory for children?
Yes.
Okay. Got it. Thanks for that, Tom. Very much appreciate it. Let's go to Dennis and Eugene. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vince Day. We're talking about what you would change in gun laws and what you would change in open meetings or open records laws.
Oh, good morning.
Hi.
Say, I have some sort of real-life experiences with guns. My brother was murdered by a guy who liked to kill people, and he just shot him down on the way home from work one night just for the fun of it. So that's one experience.
Mm-hmm.
Another experience is that I had to defend my family and myself against an escaped criminal who had a .357 Magnum but was getting ready to shoot us.
And Dennis, I think you've told us before, you grew up with guns, didn't you? I mean, you always had them in the country.
Right.
You know?
I'm a hunter. I shoot competition. I've taught people how to shoot. I've taught safety courses. I'm a pretty good gunsmith. So I have a lot of experience with guns. But here's what I would say about the law that's trying to be passed in Ashland.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that there's a problem with people carrying guns when you can see them. I don't like it when I can't see them. And we live in a culture where we have people who like to kill other people. And I think, personally, I would feel really a lot safer if there was people who could carry their gun in plain sight anytime, all the time, and would the way they would get to do that is they would go and take a really good training course, really learn how to use their firearm, and be proficient at it, and be able to use it if they needed to protect me and my family if we're at the mall, or if we're at the Walmart, or we're out camping, or wherever.
Is there a limit to size here? Because obviously there's a difference between a gun on the hip and an AR-15 slung over the shoulder.
Well, there's no difference to me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think personally, if I had my choice, I would actually rather have them carrying the AR-15.
Hmm. Okay. So
because it's a big, you know, it's obvious. It's big. It's there. You know that you're looking at that person and you're saying that person has trained. He knows what he's doing or she knows what they're doing. I think it's Sandy Hook. If that principal or somebody in that school would have had an AR-15 and been trained to use it, when that kid came there to do what he had to do, that teacher or whoever could have neutralized him or stalled him. Because here's the problem. The cops get there afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
They're never there when you need them. It's always afterwards.
So the question again gets back
to be able to protect ourselves.
Yeah, the question again gets back to then, do we make sure that there are fewer guns for everybody or more guns for everybody? It's ultimately what we're talking about, right?
No, what I'm talking about is people being able to have guns and knowing how to use them. Basically what the other person was
talking
about.
So some safety training first. All right.
As far as ammo goes, you can't buy any ammo. We've created such a scare in this country that the guns are going to be taken away that you can't hardly even buy any ammo anymore.
I know that happened right after Obama's election the first time, that people thought, oh, boy, he's going to pass all these. Nothing happened. Nothing got passed in the
new
gun legislation.
And it's just, but that's such a political issue, mm-hmm, by the left and by the right. It's like abortion. These are just political issues that we all get jerked around by.
Mm-hmm.
And in reality, we should not let that happen. We should try and actually think about what we want. And we don't want our kids shot at school.
Right.
And so we should do something to make that so it's not possible.
Right. We always differ on the tactics in a big way, though. Dennis, always a pleasure to talk to you. Thanks so much for joining us on Vents Day. Our topics on this Vents Day segment, upon which you can vent politely, gun laws. If you would make a single change in gun laws, whether you're pro or con, what would that change be? Our other topic, since this is Sunshine Week, is open records and meeting laws, and what you might like to change there. Our numbers on the exchange, 800-838-3760, 541-552-6782, or by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Here's Paul in Grants Pass. Welcome to the exchange on Vents Day.
Good morning. An armed society is a polite society.
Really?
It should be. The rest of it is Darwinism. The way I look at this, the Second Amendment was written for good cause, by people who recognized that there could be situations where people need to defend themselves, and in a greater set of circumstances, a situation in which those people may need to resist tyranny. Look at the context of the time when the amendment was included in the Constitution. What I see on the gun side of it is most people are like Dennis. They're good, responsible, honest people with guns. I don't have one. I don't keep one. I shouldn't preclude someone else from doing it. But what I would expect is for the people who have guns to practice due diligence, to not be negligent in the way that they handle and store their weapons. In most of the instances, the people who have been doing these shootings have either gotten the guns illegally or have stolen the guns, either and or have received the guns either through acts of omission or acts of commission by someone they know. Therefore, the only change I would make in the gun laws is that whoever provides the weapon, regardless of whether it's an act of omission or an act of commission, should suffer exactly the same penalty that the person who stole and used the gun suffers.
So a murder charge of the gun owner if the gun was stolen and used in a murder.
If there was an act of omission or an act of commission.
All right.
Now, if the gun's, you know, in a gun safe and it's locked and all of the due diligence is there, that's a different set of circumstances. Mm-hmm. But in most of these cases, there's a clear lack of due diligence when you drill down there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now in the area of open meetings and open records, all right, I work in this stuff all the time. And the real problem that we have is that we have a shifting goalpost as to what's confidential and what's not confidential.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that I do is represent the state in certain types of hearings. And I used to be able to use the hearing results, the hearing decisions, as teaching tools with people that I serve to show them how the judges think and how the law works. Now, if at one point I couldn't do that, period. Now I can use the hearing results again as long as I remove all of the names. Well, theoretically, that hearing is a matter of public record,
right.
And yet the hearing result, the hearing decision, is a matter of public record, and yet I cannot use it in its current status. And it's not a complaint. It's just an observation that it is a constantly shifting goalpost because we have to balance the interest of the privacy of the individuals that we're working with versus the public need to know.
All right, always a moving target there. It seems like, pardon the expression, a target in this context because we're talking about gun laws as well. Paul, thanks so much for that. Our topics on this Vents Day: gun laws, what would you change? Open records and meeting laws, what would you change there? Let us go to Ralph in Mendocino. Thanks for waiting. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Yes, good morning. Interesting choice of topics. I certainly I have had exposure to countries where gun ownership and use are strictly highly prohibited or restricted, and there are far, far fewer gun deaths in consequence, I think. I think it's a causal relationship. And moreover, I think if we look at the nature of our species, we are not all quite as rational as we would like to claim. And there are acts of passion that cause people to kill one another when perhaps they might have merely inflicted less than lethal damage to one another in venting their anger. In consequence, why don't we try to contemplate a society where we properly nurture children and where we do not use corporal punishment so lavishly, and where we can treat one another with greater respect. And I think that's much more effective. And there's a dilemma with all this. Sandy Hook, so they decided to raise the school where all those children were killed.
Mm-hmm.
Now, did the National Rifle Association contribute to the raising and the construction of a new school to eradicate this memorial, which it should have been? Germany didn't learn much after World War One, and they came back and did military aggression in World War Two. And subsequent to that, the cathedral in Berlin, Wilhelm something or another, has been left as a destroyed memorial, as a witness to the ravages of war.
All right.
I think we should preserve the ravages of gun violence. And thank you.
All right. As reminders, thank you for that, Ralph. Appreciate it. Our topic is gun laws and open records and meetings laws, the two topics here on Vents Day. We have an email from Joe in Talent. Since Ralph just mentioned the NRA, let's get Joe's email in here. He says, I think the day we sanction the NRA, the National Rifle Association, as a domestic terrorist organization and defund and marginalize it is the day we can make thoughtful, productive adjustments to the Second Amendment. I would require that anyone wanting to tote a gun finish a safety education course similar to what we do to get a driver's license, and then be registered and have to re-register every 2 years with a test to stay current. People kill people with guns when they do stupid stuff. Educate them, and we can cut down on needless deaths. That from Joe in Talent. Let's go to Brad in Ashland. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vince Day.
Yeah, thanks. Just briefly on the making secret meetings, I'm disturbed by grand jury meetings where when police are charged with having exceeded their authority and roughed up somebody or killed somebody, that's held in a secret meeting, and they're usually exonerated and slapped on the wrist and sent their way. And nothing is learned from that. So that's one thing. But on the gun law, the one thing that I would do is to have people who are touting the Second Amendment as their holy Bible, that they can allows them to carry their guns in our formerly peaceful civil society and create all kinds of anxiety as to whether that person is there as a hero or is there as a menace, is to remind people that the whole first introductory clause to the Second Amendment has the words well-regulated in it, in order to have a well-regulated militia. Well, we don't have a well-regulated militia. We have a bunch of arrogant yahoos who want to flash their guns in our faces. And I think that needs to be remembered. And if we do have laws about carrying, you know, you get a concealed weapons permit, that's a form of regulation. And if we don't need that, if anybody can carry a gun in any situation, in any circumstance, then there is no regulation. It's just a bunch of people buying guns and threatening each other with them or claiming to be the hero protecting, but they're not the hero protecting.
All right.
Finally, if there's going to be a change in the gun laws, it'll probably come if the liberals and the Democrats and everybody start buying them. So far, it's been one side that has been buying the guns for the last many decades. And I think that's a worrisome imbalance in our society.
All right.
So thanks.
Brad, thank you for that. Appreciate it. This is Vince Day on the Jefferson Exchange. We're getting the audience a chance to vent politely on gun laws and open records and meetings laws. Here is Mark in Reading. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Good morning. Yes, I wouldn't go quite so far as Paul, I believe his name was, who wanted to charge negligent gun owners with the same crime as
right.
the person who committed mm-hmm. it. I think just negligence would be sufficient. Whoever was the last legal owner of a weapon used in any crime would be charged with negligence, and if convicted, get whatever sentence or fine due. And then the victims of the of his negligence could sue him for wrongful death or injury or loss of property, whatever.
It would certainly provide some incentive to make sure your guns are locked up more securely. He was talking about, though, that if there are errors of omission or commission, so if you really did something wrong in the storage of the gun, then you could be charged.
That's basically the same thing I'm saying. It's just a matter of negligence, not a matter of, you know, if someone steals a gun from you and then goes and commits murder, then charging you with murder, I think, is a bit excessive.
All right. Thanks for that, Mark. Appreciate it. Always good to talk to you. This is Vince Day on the Jefferson Exchange. Our topic's gun laws. If you could make one change in gun laws, what would that change be? Open records and meetings laws. If you'd like a change there, what would that be? The open records and meetings information comes to the forefront because this is Sunshine Week. The newspaper publishers declared this in the mid-2000s. 2005, I guess, was the first observance of it. And it comes at a time when there was a report just, today's Wednesday, Monday of this week was a report I read in the morning paper about the fact that despite the Obama administration's claims that this will be the most transparent administration in history, a lot of the levels of secrecy that existed under the George W. Bush administration have remained in place. And in fact, in some cases, the degree of secrecy has increased. We have a final email here from Shirley in Ashland. She writes, "All public documents should be made available online and with no cost to the public. The current process discourages the public from being informed." Well said. Thanks to you, all of you who joined us on this Vince Day on the Jefferson Exchange. We'll have another one next week, a couple of different topics. Thanks for listening. Thanks for joining in. This is the Jefferson Exchange on Jefferson Public Radio's News and Information Service. Back with Hour 2 coming up.